Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts, it's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Why did you sound like Michael Myers?
Because, Naomi, there are only so... Here's the real truth. Only so many ways you can say the intro.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it fresh.
Yep.
Almost 300 episodes.
Almost 300. We are so close to 300, baby.
We just recorded the last part. Of episode 300.
300 contains many parts.
Okay. 300 contains many parts. If you like articulated action figures, you're going to love episode 300 because it's got many parts.
What if I don't love articulated action figures?
Then you'll fucking hate it, Naomi. You'll throw it, your phone into the sea.
No, I think it's going to be the greatest episode of all time.
You'll charter a tugboat, get out there, past the buoys, just toss that fucker. Just
toss it. God, can you imagine chartering a boat just to toss it? That's so much work. That's how angry I am. That's willing to do that kind of work and then wait for it all to come to fruition.
Yeah, I see that
for
in
the
like
final toss.
An Eat, Pray, Love type movie.
Okay.
Is a white woman.
Oh yeah, white woman.
Of a certain age.
A certain age, naturally.
Who is, I'm getting away from it all. Charters a tugboat. Throws their phone into the sea. And then just keeps going to Mykonos.
Reese Witherspoon, you want to do it? You want to be that woman?
Hey, Reese, you listening?
Reese, are you listening? Reese, reach out.
Reese, well, wait, do you still have that production company? You sold it for like $1 billion. How about you just give us a couple of those? We're not even asking for $1 billion. Just give us a couple $1 million and we'll make this.
Do you hear Mabel scratching on the floor? Mabel likes to just do this thing where she just scratches at the floor, you know, just ideally the moment you start recording, you know, that's when it is like the most fun for her. That's when the spirit strikes her and she's really decided to just go for it.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like maracas sometimes. Bless
someone,
her heart.
Someone wrote us, the couples therapy account, because I mostly answer them. They wrote and they were like, hey, I'm listening to episodes and I hear this like weird sound in the background. It sounds like a Dijin escaping from a lamp. I don't know what they said exactly, but it was something like that. And it took me a second. I sat there and I'm like, oh, you're hearing Mabel either shake and you can hear her collar,
yep,
or her harness,
yep,
or you hear her scratching in the background.
I think it's so funny that someone wrote because they needed to know what that was. Because, like, I hear stuff all the time. I don't, like, go, I need to know what's happening here. Do you know what I mean?
Can you go back to the early episodes when we were in a studio?
And tell the difference?
Pre-dystopia. And can you hear, are the microphones picking her up? Because she was with us most of the time, too, there.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be scratching. First of all, they had carpeted floors. Second, she wouldn't scratch it.
You think they would have stopped her? They would have yelled at her?
No, I think we gave her a bully stick. But yeah, she wouldn't be scratching. Plus, she couldn't really scratch on those floors. Mabel, please.
Speaking of people writing us, Naomi, we got this letter that arrived. It was a real letter. It came to us in the post. A male person rang our doorbell specifically, handed it to me. I had to sign for it. Hi, Andy and Naomi et al. Casey, she, her, you can use my name, she decided to read this on the show. I just listened to the episode in which someone told you about measuring things in grandpas. That is, of course, our friend Aaron.
Yes, Aaron Whitehead, whose birthday is today, the day we're recording. So happy birthday, Aaron.
And you'll be hearing, listeners, you'll be hearing this in the future. So please write a belated.
Yeah, go to Aaron's Insta and give her a belated happy birthday at
belated.
The time.
Belated.
Yeah.
So I had to write to tell you about my own unit of measurement. I'm 5 feet tall, which is not very convenient for things like grocery shopping or rock climbing or actually touching the ground with my feet anytime I sit down. But it is very convenient as a unit of measurement. Yesterday, I literally used my body to measure the dimensions of my office. Many of my family and friends now measure things in caseys.
Oh.
How high are our ceilings? Almost 2 caseys. How wide is the dresser? About 1 casey. Is this parking space big enough for my car? Hell yeah, man. It's like 4 caseys, etc. I cordially invite you to use caseys as a unit of measurement in your lives as well. Anywho, thank you for being a light in this godforsaken hellscape of a reality we're all being forced to exist in. LOL, lots of love, Casey. P.S. I just joined the page, and I'm majorly jazzed to dive into the bonus episode.
Okay, Casey. Thank you so much. And if anyone else wants to pull a Casey... All right. You can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod. Get 2 bonus episodes a month. Come visit me when I start working on some stand-up over Zoom. That's going to happen in April.
Why is that, Naomi? Why are you going to be doing some Zoom shows for the page in April?
Because on May 8th, I will be performing as part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival at Dynasty Typewriter here in Los Angeles. My show is on Wednesday at 10 p.m. So here's the thing, you guys. The theme is pajama jammy jam. Wear your PJs. We're going to keep it right and tight at 60 minutes. Masks are required. So boom. Okay, so there's anybody out there who's been like, God, I want to go out, but everybody coughing and sick. Well, you know what? My show will be a safe space. We will work very hard. I will have a purifier on that stage. We will have masks. And I'm going to buy me a new pair of silk pajamas. And we're going to have a good time. Again, those tickets are from Dynasty Typewriter as part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival. So it's its own like thing. You know what I'm saying? But it's your girl. So just FYI. Yes. And that is also why I'll be doing some stand up for the page.
Naomi, remember, we're not really asking this thing. Hey, please leave a review. Go to Apple Podcasts, 5 stars only. Say it's compelling.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, there's a couple left of these. We had asked people to like easy meals. Because you
yes,
don't know what to make.
Quick, easy meals.
There's a couple left that I want to go through. Because
please do. I love a review that is also educational.
Do you want to read this one? This came to us. This came to us in the post.
All right.
A 1950s mailman rang the doorbell, handed this to me. I had to sign for it.
Hey, Naomi and Andy, I've rated on Spotify and sending this here because I don't use Apple.
Thank you
very much. Okay, because we'll take the rating wherever we can get the rating, honey.
Yeah.
We just want the rating.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the information coming to me directly. My go-to is to dress up ramen. I get the good stuff from the Asian section, like Bulldog or Nongshim brands. I prefer the stir-fry type instead of the soup type. I add some frozen veg and stir in a mini can of tuna or top with a fried egg. Not the absolute healthiest, but adding veg and a protein makes it much more nutritious. Tasty, too.
Interesting.
I love that.
Interesting. We did, our friends Will and Chris did gift us some very fancy ramen noodles for my birthday. So.
Well, then think about it. Maybe that could make some of that.
There's another one.
Boil some of that up.
There's another one I wanted to read. I've not thought of this. And I think I've probably seen this on a menu somewhere, but this really piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit and granola wrap.
What?
Wheat wrap with peanut butter, granola, sliced banana, and strawberries. Easy and delicious. That's
your jam.
That is my jam.
That's
Naomi.
Very much your jam.
That is.
Would you really do though a peanut butter with a strawberry?
I would try it.
You'd make.
I would
happy.
Try it exactly like this person said.
Yeah.
Just to see, and they did. They wrote this review on my birthday, so I feel
wow,
like
wow, that's a gift.
This is kismet.
This is kismet. They gave you a true gift.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's definitely up your alley. Got to get some wheat wraps next time.
Yeah, we have a lot of tortillas. I could just.
You said exactly as they said it, which is why I thought you needed a wheat wrap. Damn!
I'm not gonna go out
you
of the way.
You see what he say? You heard him say exactly as they said it. Then when I say we gotta get wheat wraps, he gotta push back. Well, girl, which is it? Exactly as they said it, or as you feel like doing it? Because we got 9,000 flour tortillas in this house.
We have. They're gonna go bad.
That's true.
All right.
So many flour tortillas.
We had soy riso, but it was well past the
expiration
date.
So
now
soy riso tacos, and then that went sideways.
You know,
look, we're doing our best.
We're trying.
We're doing our best.
In a house built on sleep disorders, we are really trying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? Speaking of trying, I think this episode we did it. We were trying and we succeeded.
Holy crap. This was very exciting.
Okay, this is something. And sometimes we say this, but like, this is a person who we did not know before, like, doing this episode. We're meeting on a Zoom to talk. I've fallen in love.
Mm-hmm.
Would like to be best friends. Yeah. Okay. This person, I feel the energy in my bones.
Yes.
I've watched. Person. There's a wavelength
the
here.
The TV show they created many times over.
Oh, my Lord. We love it. So good. Okay. You've already heard the one, the only, Kat Sadler. Kat is a writer, actor, comedian coming to us all the way from England. She created and stars in the show Such Brave Girls mm-hmm. on Hulu,
mm-hmm.
which is so good and unlike anything else ever. So you need to watch it. Come on now. Such Brave Girls on Hulu.
Star her and her sister.
Her and her real life sister.
Her and her real life sister. They both give incredible performances.
I mean, it's unreal. It's unreal. You have got to watch it. It is wild.
Her sister is almost feral.
So this is a great chance after seeing that show to sit down and talk to Kat, and we hope you will enjoy this lovely conversation.
Roll it.
This is Squee. He's 17 years young.
Oh.
Yeah.
Squee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And his new thing now is sitting on like the top of your chest onto your shoulder. Like
a parrot.
Yes.
As though he were a parrot.
As if we were pirates.
I love that. I love that. Is he like a meower? Is he a growler? Is he a hisser? What's his favorite sound?
I didn't know that those were categories of cat.
That's true.
He is a meower.
He's a meower.
And he's a lonely meower.
Yeah.
He will, when I go take the dog for her 11 o'clock at night walk, he will meow. He will take a toy, hold a toy in his mouth, and meow.
Yeah.
Because he's lonely, because he thinks I've abandoned
him. And then I'll call him. I go, Squee, come on. Because usually I'm in the bed at this point. But I'll be like, Squee, mm-hmm. come to the bed. Or if it's really bad, I pick him up, carry him over my shoulder, and then walk him about the apartment until Andy has returned.
Yeah. I think I've watched enough British shows to say this phrase. I think he's a pensioner. He reminds me of a pensioner.
Pensioner energy.
Is that?
Of course. Okay, yeah. Okay, so like a bit fussy, a bit cranky.
Yes.
Doesn't like being left alone.
Yes.
Needs bedtime. Needs stability.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But I'm going to use that actually to ask you a question. Now, Kat, when it comes to your relationships, I mean, platonic, romantic, whatever, are you a hisser? Are you a growler? Are you a meower?
Well, I'm not very good at communicating, so I'd say meowing is bottom of the list. I'd say probably a hisser with like a growling moon sign, you know?
Okay. That tells me a lot.
I feel like we could develop this into a thing that tricks people. Cultish? I don't know. I don't know if we want to go as far as cult. But like, this is the basis. Like these three categories, it starts out as like a like BuzzFeed type quiz.
Yeah.
That at the end somehow you're getting their person's routing number.
Right, and now they're following you.
Yeah.
But wait, you say you're not a good communicator when of course you're such a great writer and you're so good at sort of putting out the dark inside. So I find that so interesting that like when it comes to actually using your words with people, what's the block?
Or can I say this? Or is it just that through a fictional device you can communicate?
I think that's probably it. I think it's like you writing is your way of, or my way of like tailoring what I wish I'd said, or like getting the perfect phrasing right in like a way I couldn't do in person. Like, so it's sort of just like, it's festering. I think just writing it for me is prolonged festering.
A prolonged fester. That's
good. That's
healthy. Healthy.
That's funny. So, like, we had just written a pilot where Naomi was in it, and we found, and her name was Naomi in it,
mm-hmm.
and we found that constraining. We found almost like having a device where she, because she is a good communicator, I think. Would you say that?
Well, if I've tricked you, let's say it's the truth. I've gotten him after all these years.
It's interesting, though, like when comedians play themselves in some way. Or have some facet of themselves in the thing, the way that the reality and the fiction play off each other and confuse everyone else into like, who's the real you? Is that part
of it? Definitely. 100%. Totally. Like, Sorry, you go.
No, no. My metaphor was just that there was a jet, you know, like when a...
And I was going to say, stop the metaphor. You answer the question, can't.
Look.
No. I want the metaphor, please.
All right. All right.
Naomi pushed her leg into mine.
Oh, that wasn't on purpose.
Oh.
I thought it was a purpose. That wasn't
and
a communicating.
I could not... I'm literally telling you, I could not stop myself from talking. This was not... I was not trying to get this metaphor out. It was...
Oh, that's so funny. I wasn't even, like, communicating. Because sometimes, of course, yes, you do a leg press when you say, please stop this.
But of course. I like... Yeah. I like that he's done so many metaphors in these podcasts that you're like, just stop.
She's metaphored out. When someone's shooting a missile at a jet, they throw out something, I think it's called flak or something like that, that confuses the missile. And then the missile hits the flak instead of the jet. And that's what it's like when you seed confusion through a fictional self. Then no one knows the real you. And no one can know the real you.
Yeah, that's true. It is hard, yeah. I used my real name in like the draft of like the first one, and then I think it was a mix of like to free up my character a bit and for like legal reasons changed it to a fake name so that I was a bit protected. And it also does let you do more things that like, because my character, the point of the show is that all characters are kind of assholes and do like kind of nefarious things. So I wanted to be able to do that and not feel like I'm saying this is me. Like, and I don't want people to feel sorry for me in some of the things I talk about or whatever. So it felt like I got freedom from that as well. So it sort of meant that I could be a bit more of an island to Josie, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, Kat, where do you come from? Like, I was trying to find information on you online.
Oh, yeah, it's your cipher on the internet.
Yeah, what are you, London, Manchester, where are you from?
Well, sort of not really London, like, sort of South, I guess South London, like, near Croydon.
I've heard of it. Look, I watch all the British murder shows, okay? So I know the names of places.
Sure.
I've been to London twice, but really, it's been in the last few years, you know, we had a lot of time in the house, and I just said, give me everything Britbox has got to offer.
Oh my god. What's on BritBox? I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but was there anything good on there?
It seems like all of UK television is cut up between like three different apps here.
Yeah.
BritBox.
Acorn
and BBC. Is that
an app? But then it also includes like PBS Masterpiece. So basically I'm piggybacking on my mom's accounts, and these shows give us something to talk about. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, 'cause she's also into them. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch this one. And then we have like a built-in 12-minute conversation of whatever the latest episode was. You know what I mean?
I love that. Is she into like, is it mainly the dramas that she likes? Or will she watch like some of the British comedy? 'Cause some of it's quite niche.
No comedy. It is drama
only. No comedy,
only.
Sure.
Andy got me into the comedies. Like, when we've been together now, aren't we coming up on 15 years? 14.
14. We're going to be in our 15th year.
Yes.
And that's so, such a long time.
Isn't that insane? Isn't it crazy?
That's huge.
I know. And we like each other.
Congratulations. That's so good. I'm getting that vibe. This is mad.
Well, we could just
15
be good
years?
Actors.
No, yeah. I'm not.
I'm a terrible actor.
Exactly. And also, considering you thought I was silencing your metaphor, imagine if I didn't like you. Like, I don't think it would be subtle.
So true.
That's my
memoir,
silencing my metaphor.
But he got me into like a lot of British comedy when we first got together. Like, I wasn't aware of that whole other, you know, part of the world.
Yeah. What kind of stuff, Andy? What kind of stuff did you? What was your like intro to it? Like,
intro? Okay, so my real intro was Monty Python, which I hated because that was for nerds. And I'm like, I see what happens to the nerds at school. I do not want to be part of that group.
So I stayed
away for a long time, and then I saw Coupling on PBS. One night, I was packing for college. I was like, and I don't know why it was on. And that started, and then Father Ted, which maybe we don't talk about.
Sure. That's all.
Hey, Arthur Matthews, great. Other creator is an insane transphobe.
Yeah.
So fuck him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what started. And then, you know, Spaced and
Mighty Boosh.
Oh, Snuffbox. Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of like the early days of you and I together. You were like, well,
I'm trying to get you to watch Mighty Boosh, and you're like, I don't like this.
I know. I was like, he's trying to get me to watch it. I was like, it might actually be a little too weird for me. It wasn't. However, I'm obsessed with Toast of London, right? Mm. Like, I found my areas.
Of course.
Were you a big comedy, like, because, and I say this too, like, I'm a stand-up, but I wasn't someone who necessarily ingested comedy where I was like, I am at the altar of comedians, and so I'm going to learn from them. Were you someone who was, like, taking it in from the beginning, from when you were little, I mean.
Like, honestly, totally not. Like, I think, so it was like my mum and my sister and me were like just sort of our house. And I think my mum just loved all the big comedy. So we just watched a lot of like Adam Sandler movies and like mm-hmm. kind of stuff like that. So it was like these sort of big comedies, but I remember just laughing so much at like, so I feel like we kind of had this like broad taste of that. So I never really got like, I guess, snooty or whatever, dug into it more until I sort of met other comedians and then realized like, oh, I should have more refined taste, more interesting things to say when people ask me what I watch. So then I dug into it, but I loop chain watched like in the UK, there sort of was a period of time where it was like they'd have Friends when you got in from school. So I'd watch Friends and then I'd watch The Simpsons and then I'd watch Scrubs. So that would sort of be my like triple bill.
Oh my God, that's a real American trifecta.
Yeah, totally. So honestly, like I feel like Friends is so ingrained in my head that like anytime I do a plot now, I'm thinking, I bet that's from Friends. Like the intonation is a way I'm always catching myself doing. Uh-huh. So that totally raised me, definitely. Like, yeah, I was obsessed. Still am.
But where did 2 pints and a packet of crisps fit into this? Isn't that an important show?
Is that important? 2 pints and a packet of crisps?
I've never bloody seen that. I've heard it's good though, isn't it? Right?
I don't know.
I've never seen it in my life. It's just a fun reference that I like throwing out.
Yeah, it's quite niche in a good way.
Well, it's just so distinctly British, right? Yes. Like the title itself tells you something British is happening.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, I guess.
Same with Monty Python. I feel like Monty Python is similar. Like, oh, it's British. Here we go.
Yeah, but that's like for nerds. And I'm a cool guy.
We don't touch that.
I like cars. I like football, American football.
I don't like this character.
I was like gutted because I don't know if you had the same thing, but like I had like, it was like an old, like probably my first ever boyfriend I had introduced me to like stand up in the world of stand up when I was like 16, 17. And I remember watching like Louis C.K.'s specials and like thinking it was like fucking the best thing I'd ever seen in my life. And then obviously
that's
swiftly gone downhill. Yeah. We don't talk about that anymore. But that was like my first intro.
We're stepping on a lot of landmines in this.
Yeah, I know, right? But that was it. So that was my first thing, really. It's always a boy, I think. Or in my case, it was.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, God. When you said that my first boyfriend got me to stand up, I said, oh, brother, poor girl.
Yeah.
I just associate the guy who wants to introduce you to stand up is a certain kind of guy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Wants to be a stand-up. Yeah, totally. Totally. And then I feel like a lot of, like, female comics get started because we sit next to them and go, we could do that better.
100%. Oh, my God. I once went out with a guy, and he didn't know I was a stand-up because we had met online and we were just talking, and then he was like, but he invited me to his, like, bringer show.
No.
I don't know if y'all had that in the UK where you have to bring a certain number of people, you know, like, that level of show. And he like invited me to his bringer show. I didn't have to pay, but I did still have to buy 2 drinks. It was still a 2 drink minimum.
Where was it?
Broadway Comedy Club.
Oh no. Uh-huh. Oh no.
And
that's like one of the real crappy ones.
And like, I remember just being like, and I remember like, I mean, I was early. It's not like I was some, you know, but I was doing stand up, where it's like, he didn't know that I was sitting here going, boy, please. And I was like, he was fine, but I'll tell you, here we are 14 years later, and who has a Netflix half hour, and who's nowhere to be found? Okay, Kat? We don't know where he is. We don't know where he is, Kat.
Name him.
We do not know who he is. Look him up. Find him on Instagram. I might give you a boost. I feel like I do that sometimes with my enemies from school. So I have a look and go, oh, just, yeah. If I ever get bored, I'll look at that and be like,
Do you have enemies?
Oh, I love
you
this.
Have actual
I love
enemies. This. I mean, this
so
is
so many. So many enemies. Yeah, the list goes on. It honestly takes up so much time. Like, it's exhausting. You got the same thing, Naomi.
Well, here's my second question, though. Do they know they're your enemies?
I think a couple of them perhaps might, but most not. I'd say 99% don't know.
Exactly. Yes, I'm with you then. Yes, we have these secret enemies. Secret enemies. They don't know they're taking up so much brain space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's every morning I do the patrol. I patrol their accounts. And they have no idea how much airtime they take up in my head. But it's every morning.
Wait, Kat, is there one you can talk about? Like, I want to know what makes someone your enemy.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to say the name of the person. But for instance, say the inciting incident that made them an enemy.
It will be someone that I've spoken to at an event who was she was a bit short with me or sort of looked past me. And then it's like, well, that's forever. They're dead to me. And I hope they burn in hell.
Okay.
If that's what makes someone your enemy, then I also have enemies.
Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing. I have that, but then here's the question. But for me, right, if someone's like that, and I'd be like, okay, you're a bitch. But yes. Then if I saw them again and they were warm, I'd be like, I like you now.
Absolutely, yeah. We're cats. I think it's the same with an animal, isn't it? It's just sort of like, as soon as they show affection, I'm like, oh, absolutely, they're the best guy ever. Like, what was I thinking? Like, well, the second they tweet or say something nice about the show, then I'm like, that's my best friend.
I know. You're like, I love them. I've always loved them. Okay, it's actually so pathetic. You're unwell.
Oh, obviously, very extremely. Yeah, absolutely. But it also lets, it fuels you. I feel like you should use it. We have to use whatever we can at our disposal in this job to influence us.
Uh-huh. Interesting. No, I will hold the grudge. I don't care about they can be as nice to me as they want afterwards. But if it's grudge worthy for me, then it's forever.
my best friend calls it the vault. And so there's people that live in the vault, which exists in my head, and it's sort of like that mind palace that Sherlock has. Yes. And so if someone comes up, I've got the file on them, and I'll flick through it, and I can remember very small, minute details of everything they've done over time. So yes. I've always got it in the can.
I know. I once had a boss. This was back when I worked at this art magazine, and it's like, and I have a really good memory, and it was something where we were at an event, and I said hi, you know, someone with my boss, where I was like, oh yeah, I remember you from blah blah blah, and then he's like, she's got a great memory, and then my boss goes, yep, and it's lousy with resentments. And I was like, yeah, like a good, the flip side of a good memory is like you will remember like the name of a person you met one time 12 years ago, but you will also remember the side eye someone gave you when you said a sentence at a party. Like there are people, you know what I mean, like where it's like I wasn't even necessarily talking to them, but I saw the look on their face. Like
absolutely.
A coworker made a look gave a look when I said something where I was like, okay, I think I've overstepped. And now I know that this person does not like what I have to say in this arena. And I'm going to hold this in my head, hold this look forever. And then I will adjust accordingly.
But we're supposed, I've had to do therapy about it because like, it's kind of like, in some capacity, it's to do with like mental health in a way, I guess. And it's like called splitting, like where you divide someone into being good or bad. And like, it's, a lot of work has to be done on the idea of there being nuance and not everyone's good and everyone's bad. But it's hard to know whether it is splitting, whether it's just sort of knowing someone's evil. Like, you know? So, but also, if they don't feel your vibe, they don't feel your vibe, you know? I'm trying to get used to that.
Yes, exactly. Like, or getting used to the idea that, you know, because just based on this, right? Like, we've just met 23 minutes ago, and there's already a soul connection because you're someone who just, like, puts where they're at front and center, right? Whereas I think a lot of people don't. But as people who are walking gaping wounds, like the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, a void that cannot be filled.
Right. Absolutely. What does my therapist say? He was like, I said that I find it hard to connect with people sometimes. And he said, you crackle with life force that's disturbing for people. And I think he's right. It's like sort of, so if you can connect with people, as you said, walking wounds that are like alive. And there are people that seem to be less alive. That
is harder
to connect with.
That is a
perfect...
Or don't want to admit
that they're bad or they have shame around it. I don't know. There's something about it, isn't there?
Or they're uncomfortable or confused or don't have it all together. But I think that I usually interpret that personality as though, oh, they don't like me. And I'm like, I've got to learn that some people are just shutting it down, right? And it's not a personal response as much as that's just how they move through the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like when our neighbor will ask me like, oh, how are you doing? I walk past and I go, and they're like taken aback for a second. They're like, oh, okay. Like they just wanted me to say, oh, I'm great, Pat, and then keep going.
It's like, do you want me to lie?
I know.
Like, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going you to. Can't. Okay.
Literally my favorite neighbor, I don't think I even told you this, Andy. There's an elderly couple that lives next door, like two houses down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you see them kind of walking by, and the husband of the couple, Andy, whatever you ask him how he is not well, okay? And he tells me first thing. Like, I'm like, hi, how are you? He goes, the cancer. I don't know. I'm sick of it. I'm tired. They got to go in there. But then the last time we saw him, he said he was having the surgery, like back before.
Yes, I remember.
But then when I saw him again, he was like, they got to go in there. And so I was like, did you have the surgery or not?
Can I admit something to you both? He told me what the problem was at one point, and I forgot. And so now I'm scared to ask him about it because I've forgotten what the exact organ is.
I think it's the bladder.
You think it's the bladder?
He said it's the bladder because okay. He said they had to go in there. And then he goes, I'm in pain. I'm sick of it. And like, this is my favorite person. Like when I'm old, that's who I will be. You ask me how I am, I'm going to tell you what hurts. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. And I'm going to tell you I'm sick of the doctor. That's going
to
be me.
Exactly. You've earned that. I feel like, yeah, you've lived a full life. By the time you get to that age, I'm going to be telling everyone what's wrong. Of course. That'll be my favorite topic. Absolutely.
But now, Kat, there was something you said just a couple minutes ago that I really flagged when you're talking about your therapist.
Journalist Naomi's coming out.
I'm a journalist, okay? I'm an investigative.
Sure. Mm.
You said your therapist and you said he said. Now, Kat, you know...
Did you ever see Naomi's famous stand-up bit how she'll never talk to a male therapist?
No, Kat, I don't believe in paying money to talk to a man.
I'm just kidding.
And I need to know, how did you come to be with a male therapist?
What a question. Well, I got a bit scarred, actually. And I wish I was making this up, but I decided to start therapy at the start of lockdown. And then began with the woman, and in the first session, I was telling her a story, and she started crying, and I felt really bad that she was crying, and she told me she was crying, and I was like, ooh, and it totally was like, I just felt totally like scarred by the experience. And then when I was looking for therapy, I wasn't necessarily looking for a man, but I was just like looking for like, I don't know what I was looking for, but it totally just like messed me up. Like this, like having this.
You wanted someone who wouldn't cry.
Yes. Sorry. Like,
what's going on with her?
Yeah, like, was she crying in response to whatever you were saying? Or was she just like in it?
Did it trigger her? Did she have her own stuff she was not dealing with?
I was just telling the story that I don't think I even thought was that sad, but maybe it was. But she just said, oh, I feel moved to cry. And I was like, oh, I don't know whether it was like some kind of experimental more therapy, because some are more like feelings and emotion based, but I was definitely looking for like, let's talk it through. Like, so I just felt a bit burned. So then I was like, okay, looked up for like someone who deals with more like, because I'm quite strange. So I was like looking up someone who like deals with weirdos. And then I found this guy, and it wasn't necessarily I was looking for a man, but I just saw this guy's bio. I was like used to dealing with eccentric people. And I was like, fucking perfect.
Really? This person.
I know. I was like, what? Yeah. What are the buzzwords that let you know this person can handle weird?
My therapist is an inscrutable Russian woman. And
okay.
I need someone. And a lot of my stuff is like, yeah, I'm weird. So,
yeah.
And she's just like, well, how does that make you feel? It's just Freudian kind of.
Does she get to unlock? Because is she good at making you feel? Because what I wanted is someone to make me feel more comfortable in my weirdness rather than like sort of stamp it out. Is she good at making you sort of embrace it, or is she sort of putting you off?
halfway in between. She's not trying to like stamp it out like it's a campfire that's raging out of control. Metaphors. So there's comfort, but like some of the, she does not validate some of my beliefs about the world, which are reptiles run everything.
of course. Yeah.
No, but like, so like stuff where I'm just like, where I talk about, you know, we live in, I don't know if Rishi Sunak's world is like this, but in America, like the political establishment is fucking insane. Mm-hmm. And so talking about that stuff and being and like, I need someone else to tell me like, no, you're right. These people are lunatics. Like,
totally.
Like the State of the Union was just given the other day. Like that's like
the presidential address,
Biden's big yearly speech about what's going on. And the GOP response was this like, this woman who's like this, like looks like this, like kind of traditional Christian housewife woman.
Handmaid's Tale energy.
Handmaid's Tale energy. Just so like you could see, I was trying to figure out which Nazi she would be. And I settled on Ilsa Koch, who was this like crazy Nazi woman who like tortured prisoners and stuff like that. And you could see when Senator Britt was talking. She's a senator, by the way.
And that's great.
When she was talking, you could see the cruelty just below the surface of her skin. That what she really wants to be doing is just like clawing people's eyes out.
Yeah.
But she has to like put on a palatable kind of skin for everyone.
Like just imagine like a tight Stepford Wife smile. And then like every now and then there'd be like the glitch of anger.
Or like she's taking off like fake, like when she's done, she takes off her like fake teeth and you see it's all incisors.
Oh my God. Oh, I love that so much. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I want, I just need another human being that's outside of my circle, a neutral person to be like, no, you're right. These people are cruel lunatics. And mm-hmm. she will not do that for me. And so that makes me feel nuts. And
well, that's splitting, isn't it? She can't permit splitting. She's got, they have nuance, you know?
She can't
enable.
These lunatics don't.
No, they don't by principle. No, of course
right,
not.
Right, right. Yeah, wait. Okay, so you... But wait, what made you... You weren't doing therapy before lockdown. What made you want to go into therapy in the first place?
I think it was like... It was time... I feel like you have to sort of be in a space where you want to dig into some of that stuff and rifle. Because, like, sometimes you are just protecting your brain enough to sort of survive. And then, like, I think sort of therapy, you almost have to, like, be a little bit available to dig. And I was, like, reached a point where I was like, okay, I feel like I can dig a bit now. Like, rather than, like, just crisis management. So, like, it was sort of, like, feeling capable of doing that. But then, as I've gone on, we sort of have gone into crisis management. And it's been fine. So I don't know what put me off. I think I just was, I don't know. You have to be in the right headspace, don't you, to kind of start that process and trust someone to tell them everything.
Yeah.
But nothing in particular happened? Like, it's not like you hit a wall in some area that made you say, now let's work? Or was it simply the fact that you were stuck inside and had nothing but time?
Oh, I had a complete mental collapse. This was, at the start of lockdown, I had a full-on breakdown, got sectioned and had a complete mental breakdown. So it was sort of like I came out of that and I'd had sort of crisis management therapy, which is like the worst because it's like you have it every day mm-hmm. on the ward or whatever, and it's for like an hour and they don't really do anything beyond sort of get you to sort of tell them what happened because it's usually a different nurse each time and like it's sort of inconsistent and it wasn't helping me very much. So I sort of then went back to having therapy, but I had to sort of find a way to afford it because it's, you know, NHS is like 2-year long waiting list. So you have to sort of go private if you want to have one now.
Okay.
So it took a while to find someone who was willing to be like, do a discount because it was lockdown. I think that's actually what made me do it in the end because they were doing like sort of half price because it was on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So made it slightly more accessible because at the time I didn't have this show and I was like on Universal Credit, just like... trying to get through.
When you're sectioned, do you section yourself? Like, I don't I'm not sure like how it actually works.
Yeah, do you, do you say
like, yeah, do you go in and be like, I need this, or did someone say like
put you there?
I think it was sort of I attempted to off myself and got put into hospital by a sort of medical professional. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's not the first time it's happened, but I think it was sort of lockdown, spurred us on. So then I got sectioned via a medical professional. Okay. So,
and how long were you in there before they let you out?
Well, it's in and out. Like, so that one I'd say was only a couple of days. So like, it really varies for like what you need and what happens at the time. But that latest one was like, just like a 48 hour one. Okay. And then by that time I was like, I need to go. Like, and I think it was just like it was sort of like crisis control. And then I think also because it was lockdown, sort of everyone was so worried about COVID that like they sort of didn't really want to keep you in unless it was like absolutely critical. So like by then, at that point I was staying at home but going in every day, so it was sort of a mix of the two.
Okay, right. So you check out but you have to come back in for your sessions.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that was it. So they were useless.
I was gonna ask, I'm like, are they actually trying to help you or are they just like babysitters basically at that point?
I don't know, they can't. It's crisis management. So there's nothing they're going to say that's going to fix it. I guess they can just sort of say like, you'd sort of be like, they give you a scale of like, how likely do you feel that you're going to kill yourself today? And you sort of would go off the list, like whether it's like feeling red, which is critical, or whether you're like an amber or, you know, whatever. So they sort of measure it. And then the hope is that the sort of need or the desired pairs down as time goes on and then you get discharged. So, it's sort of, that was kind of the process of it, really. So it's probably helpful in terms of, like, I have somewhere I have to go in the day. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess that was something. But, God, we've gotten deep. And we got in deep quick, guys. I've been sectioned.
This is the work, okay? this is the journalism I'm talking about. This is how we dig deep, okay?
But, no, I mean, we're the Woodward and Bernstein of comedy.
No, I mean, and obviously tell us if you don't want us to pry. And, you know, and I, someone who suffers from depression and is on a range of medications, and I also attempted. Have you heard of TMS? It's like transmagnetic stimulation, where they put like a magnet on your head, honey. I tried to have them put a magnet on my head every day for 7 weeks. Didn't take. So
it was a fun little field trip for a couple months.
Andy would drive me every day.
Every morning, Mabel and I would sit in the car.
What would they do?
So you literally, like, you're just sitting in, it's almost like you're sitting in like what a dentist chair. And then there's like a little machine that just goes on the outside. It's like, you know, so it's not invasive.
Okay.
And it just like, stop. And it was that for 30 to 45 minutes. And they did it like, you know, I think it's like the right side is depression. The left side is anxiety. And so initially I was going in for the depression.
They're putting it all over Naomi's body.
but then I did double time. Mm. And, you know, there was like at one point, like, and it's a 7 week program. It's 35 sessions. And it was like around week three, it seemed like it was working. Like I was, because they constantly make you fill out, you know, those like, forms where it's like 0 to 10, how would you rate your anxiety and how would you, all that kind of stuff. So it was like 3 weeks in, it looked like it was working. I was getting some whatever, and then it just like didn't stick.
So wait, why are you bringing this up? You're like, because hey, you should try this thing.
No, I'm not telling Kat to try it. I'm telling Kat that we're not talking to her. I'm not asking her as somebody who's like, what's being sad like?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I'm a sister in the struggle. That's what I'm telling
Love
you.
That.
Okay?
And I appreciate that. Need that.
People thinking I'm just like, oh my God. Have you ever been hurt before? No, Kat, I'm out here. Effie, we all got pain. Okay.
Are you on? Are you taking any antidepressants at the moment?
I'm on Prozac right now, but we're like at kind of low dose. What about you? Anything fun?
No, but I was thinking about it, and my friend was making me laugh a few days ago because I was like talking about going onto something at the moment, and she was saying, we both were just like, oh, it's very serious. Like, oh, I don't know whether we'll do it. You know, you feel nauseous. It's a big choice, blah, blah, blah. But on the same time, we'll, on a night out, we'll be like, what are they taking? Let's take some of that. Like, and it's like, Kel is cut with, like, it's going right on my nose. I'm swallowing it. Like, and it's, but for some reason with antidepressants, it's like, oh, that's a big decision. Like, what is that? What is that?
No, that's what's always scared me. I've never done any drugs because I'm always scared. Like, right. I have no idea what's in that thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what you mean, though, but I think with the difference, right, is like, or at least what you can tell yourself is, when you're out and you're like, oh, I'll take this thing, it's like one night, right? And you would, and again, I don't do drugs because I'm also like, I grew up very much like, oh, if I take a drug, I'll overdose immediately and die. But that's just like, right? Like, so that's just like, I'm not that kind of person. But I think that what you can tell yourself, you go, I take it once and it's like, whatever, right? Like, I'll wake up either way and like, you know, my body will kind of process it. Whereas I think it's like, but every day? You want me to take it every day? Well, now we're really doing something. I think it's
totally.
Every day of it that makes
every
it.
Day, and you know, there's that thing you tell yourself of like, but what if I lose my spark? And like, what if it makes me who I am? Like, it's like you don't want to shut that down, do you? So even though it's got actually fucking nothing to do with that, of exactly. course, yeah, yeah. of course yeah. it doesn't.
Exactly. Like, if you're lucky, it will just soften the edges so you're not such a raw nerve. Do you know what I mean? But like, it won't actually make you like not be creative, or at least not in my experience of like, because I've tried
Definitely.
Different things over the years, which is why I eventually got to magnets and then I got back to the pill.
Best thing, I wrote the pilot on mirtazapine, and it was probably the most clarity I've ever had. And that one's lovely. That's like pure cotton wool. Like I feel like with my depression or whatever, like it's like, I feel like it's like a flow chart to jumping to like the, you know, end your life. And like when you're depressed, I feel like there's less like stops along that flow chart to get to that choice. But with like something like mirtazapine, it's honestly like, it's miles away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I can't stop eating. It needs to eat. Mirtazapine is a, you have to eat constantly. Yeah. So yeah, I got through a box of Frosties every day. I was eating raw.
Okay.
Like no milk, nothing. Scooping it out like a bear into my mouth. All the livelong day. So it was not good for me.
How long did you last on it? Like, how long did you use it?
Well, I really gave it a good bloody go because they gave it to me in the psych ward. And I stayed on it because I was like, I do feel better. Uh-huh. And then I think it probably was after I realized that I must have gained like a good like 3 stone. I was like, oof, I'm going to have a real think about this. And then flipped over to venlafaxine, which is supposed to do the opposite way, which is supposed to make you feel sick. I was like,
fun.
Well, I'll balance it out.
God, no.
Could you do the first one and Ozempic? Would they like cancel each other out?
Oh my God, I'm a mirtazapine and Ozempic.
Yeah,
I want to be some champions.
Which, if I could request that. But no, we don't have that here. Unless we do. I think it's just for diabetes here, I think. Is it the same?
Yeah. It's supposed to be.
And then suddenly, like, celebrities got a hold of it. And it's like, wait, I don't have to exercise 9 hours a day. I can just take this shot once
I'm obsessed. But venlafaxine, the doctor promised me would do that, and then it didn't. But it also, it meant I couldn't orgasm. So it was like, do I want to? I'd rather eat and be happy.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So given all this, when did you guys actually shoot the show? Like, was that 2021?
The pilot was 2021.
Yeah.
Or 22, I can't remember. Maybe 21. And then the series got commissioned, and then I wrote the series, and then we shot the series in, like, June last year.
23,
so
okay.
There was kind of a big gap between the pilot and now, which is kind of weird because there's like a fight scene at the end of episode one, and like the beginning of that is 2021 and the end is like 6 months ago, so it's quite strange. Like, okay. Hopefully you can't tell.
No,
but,
yeah. You can't.
No, yeah. No, usually, like, there's something drastic. There has to be something, like, someone's hair length is now like down to their knees or something like that, and then you're like, oh, those two were shot at 10 years apart.
I cut my hair off between, and then they had to. That's not my hair in the rest of the series.
Oh, really?
That's
they had to give you
leave. Yeah. Yeah.
But given all that, so like, I guess what I'm saying, right? Like, the as you said, you were like, you know, you wrote the pilot, you were like in a good place mentally, like kind of feeling like you had a handle on it, which obviously enabled you to kind of write the pilot. Mm. Then you get all this time and all the in between and everything that changes and sort of like, and because, you know, again, the character is not you, but it's partially you, but it's the dark part. And was there a mental challenge to getting back into the headspace of sick Josie?
That's actually such a good question. And like, yeah, I think, yeah, there is to an extent. It's like sort of rifling back through that stuff is always dangerous. It's sort of like you're playing with fire. And worse still, you were sort of saying it to like producers or people that are deciding what's interesting, and they're going to tell you like, yes, that's worthy of being the show, or no, that's not. And it might be something that for you is like really important,
yeah,
or like absolutely core to your origin story, and then you say it to someone and they're like, no, like, you know, like, well, this is really important to me. So that kind of stuff is like, you have to really like put your ego aside and like dig into that. But yeah, digging back through and remembering what the headspace in, I feel like that's part of like what can cause you to have another depressive spiral, like sort of even just the memory of where you were, and like sort of then you fantasize about it, and then I think then I can send myself back that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, definitely. Like, I was just thinking about this because like I was working on an idea for something when I was really in the depths of my depression, and I was like, but I think this could be good, or I think they have these legs, and now I'm like kind of out of it enough where I'm like, do I want to go back to that? Like, almost, is it better to go back with a little bit of clarity to the concept and not be so, because maybe I can see it a little better and maybe it's not that good? Or does it just stay where it was and maybe I go back in another dark mood?
Wait.
Totally.
Can I ask, when you were dealing with depression, I assume you're dealing with it as a teenager too, right? That's not like, it's just like, boom, you're, it's 2019 and that's how you're dealing with something, right? What is mental health in, we know from other guests what mental health in Ireland is like, but what is mental health in Britain, in England like?
With the
like,
2 year waiting list.
Is it like, are people acknowledging what's going on? Are you able to acknowledge what's going on?
Do people talk about it, right? Like, you know, we're from New York, live in LA, people will easily go, my therapist says, you know, like very casually. But is that something?
I'm from Pennsylvania, which is like real, it's like rural. A lot of it, and you don't talk about your emotions at all. And I'm just curious, like, how did you grow up? And was this like a thing that you could like talk about, or did you just have to like hide it?
I feel like you sort of didn't really have the chance to talk about it that much. Like, I feel like as I was a teenager, I think maybe it was on the turn, people were discussing it more. And I remember like I got referred to like CAMHS, which is like Children and Adolescent Mental Health Services in the UK. So I was kind of like funneled through that system. So I guess I felt comfortable enough or the things were bad enough that I kind of got referred that way. But on the whole, you didn't really talk about it with your friends very much, like at all. And also we didn't quite have like the language. I feel like it's so, like, TikTok now is so a mix of incredible and terrible for that. Like, and I see so much and feel so seen and also so attacked. Like, it's so complicated. But yeah, at the time growing up, nobody really had that. Like, and it, for like, we had, I don't know about yours, but like we, our school was so, there was so much self-harm. We had, that was such a prominent thing at school, and I did it. And like, it was just like this, there was like, I think the problem was we just all had this like massive stress, big emotions and bodies that couldn't handle it. And like, you just get funneled through loads of like complicated systems at school. So it's just like, there isn't really a lot of outlets to discuss that. And I do think our parents were never, it was always a sign of weakness, and it kind of still does sort of remain that way. It's sort of like you can't acknowledge it because it's something to do with the parents' wrongdoing, like, you know.
Total girl, especially because you grew up with a single mom, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So did I. And that feeling too, because it's like, this woman is trying so hard, and what does it mean about what she's doing if you are not well?
Totally. And also mental health, I think mental illness can run through like families. So like often it's like something they don't want to acknowledge in themselves. And like when you get into those waters, it's dangerous, right? So girl, it's just like, better just keep it out of vision.
Yeah. It's how is your relationship like with your mom now? You know, as you're an adult, you're working, you know what I mean? Like you're going through it, but you're also going through it, like you're managing.
Totally.
How's your relationship shifted?
It's better. I've done a lot of work in therapy about sort of letting go of the ideal you wish your mother could be, and accepting her for what she is, and sort of that work has helped me to sort of reframe what I expect. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, if they weren't given the tools, how can we expect them to have them now? And like, as much as I'd love her to take a course or do some reading about it so she kind of knew better what to do, like, she's also a woman that's scared and isn't equipped to help. So it's like, I'm turning to the wrong person anyway if I was doing that. So I've kind of let that go a little bit. And she is better now at sort of checking in and wanting to discuss it, but it's not like talking to a friend. It's not like talking to someone else who understands. Exactly.
I know. You know the phrase I love? It's, don't go to a hardware store for oranges.
I love that.
All right. And that's it.
I love that.
Sometimes.
I love that.
Those people, those situations. How close do you live to her now? Like, where are you? Like, would you pop over? Would she pop over to you? Like, what's the visitation?
I probably see her maybe once a month. And, like, we might go to IKEA and walk around. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of it. So she's probably lives, I think she lives about an hour away.
Oh, okay.
So it's not too far, but it's also not too close. So we just sort of see each other every so often. And I sort of get the gossip on everyone and then go back. So it's good for that, yeah. But I probably wouldn't get into much deep stuff with her, no. Mm-hmm. Are you the same?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been home in a long time, you know, because also we're on the West Coast and, you know, my mom's in New York and COVID and, you know, just all of that, where it's like, you know, it makes travel just an extra headache.
Oh yeah, and now that doors are falling off of airplanes, we're like, maybe we should wait for that to resolve itself before we take a flight.
but I just talked to her today, and she was like, I talked to her this morning, and she
you
was
really
like,
had a morning before I woke up.
I know, I got a lot done. And she was like, I'm gonna be really mad if you don't come visit me this summer. And it was like, okay. And I hear that. And I'm like, okay, I should. But you know, because also, again, between the magnets, the therapy, whatever, part of it, there's been the COVID of it all, the distance, and just haven't been feeling like I've been in a strong enough mental state.
Yes.
To do the work necessary for. So, for instance, you say an IKEA walk. Now, imagine if I was doing that IKEA walk for 3 to 5 days.
No.
It's a long time, right? To stay up and keep the conversation not revealing and light, but also be available and also be pleasant, but don't say too much, but give her enough that she feels close. And it's too much.
This is so me. I love that you're saying this. It's exactly it. Yeah. And keep the vibes good, you know? That's a lot of the job is sort of keep those vibes going. It's like I'm the compere of a comedy night and it's just me and her. And I'm like, just fill that dead air with anything. Just keep that applause going. You're like, what else can I talk about? Like,
So that's
what else is in the news?
Exactly.
Honestly, yes. Yeah. Because it regressed immediately. It regressed to being 14 years old. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I've achieved nothing. Like, and this is the immediate. But immediately, there's tension between us, and I'm trying to prove myself, but also getting annoyed at everything she's saying. She wants to understand me, but also getting annoyed at everything I'm saying. So it's just like, if we can avoid that.
Oh my god, yeah. So I've been putting it off, sister.
Yeah,
I've been
fair.
Putting it off.
I wanna answer some listeners' questions, but before that, just quickly, how has your, let's call it mental health journey, as we say on the show, how has that impacted your romantic relationships? Or how has that, how have they played off each other?
If that's interesting. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's, I don't think I've ever gone out with someone who's been completely mentally well. I don't know what that would be like. It would probably be maddening to go out with someone who's completely fine, doesn't get the insanity of the sort of thought loops we have and the things we, the amount of thoughts that go into a small task or like something that they, to them might seem normal. So I don't know how I would be with someone like that. I'm getting better at trying to communicate more. Like, or accepting more about days where I'm going to be depressed and that I can't bring the fun constantly in the dynamic. And hopefully trying to be more like open about that. But it is hard. It is hard. And it's hard as well because I feel like with this show, I think people like strangers can feel like they can jump into talking about really dark stuff really quickly with me because they know that I've dealt with it. So I know how to talk about that. So it's kind of, having my shields up a little bit, but also wanting to talk about stuff because I love talking about stuff. But it is like it's a hard line to tread.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
But I don't know now. Dating is hard. Like I think I've just because I sort of locked myself away writing this show. Like I just feel like I've gone mad behind the eyes. I feel like I'll be having a drink with someone and I feel like they're talking to me and I feel like I'm talking back, but like what they're seeing is like this robot with its face blown off and it's like full of wires that have come loose and it's like really scary for them. And I'm trying to keep the mask on. Like don't show them, the insanity. So it's hard. It's a hard time, guys.
Yeah. They reach over and lovingly tuck a wire back behind the mask.
Tuck a wire behind your ear. Yeah. Tuck a wire.
And I don't know how much to share or what to do. So, you know, if you have any tips, dear God, share them with me.
Our listeners are also, I mean, we've been out of the game for a long time, but you're not alone.
Yeah, everyone's saying that. I also think everyone's brain has been kind of broken.
It has.
So I think that it's also like, but I think the difference is like, you need, in a sense, you need another live wire, but who is connected to a different outlet. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? Like, you need someone who understands that, but also isn't going to reinforce the least healthy habits.
Yeah, like, my thing's anxiety, her thing's depression. So, you know, we got different.
Perfect balance. Yeah.
Or, like, when I'm going crazy, it's almost, Andy will kind of take the opposite act where he goes, okay, you're already spinning, so I'm not going to help. But I'll be like, you agree with me, don't you? And he's like, I do, but it doesn't help if I meet you where you are, like that, right? So, like, you need someone who understands that you're not nuts, but who is also gonna say, like, okay, we don't need to live in that dark place for too long.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really healthy. That's the dream. Well, hey. Do you ever get annoyed if, like, you're in a dark place and the other person's trying to offer something constructive, and it's like, oh, don't need that right now. That's like a problem, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that does not help.
I'm like, if I wanted to hear that, I would do that. And it's like, it's like, are you out of mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait.
That stuff's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. When people, they get dark quickly. Does that mean, I'm trying to figure out, you do like that, but also you don't want to. Are they reacting to you or like the character that you've created? This goes back again to like that kind of like, are they seeing you or are they seeing
a
character?
You an avatar, right?
Yeah. And I guess I don't know. And that's the problem, I suppose, is that like, I don't know who they, which version of me they're talking to. But I guess I love talking about stuff. And I think I've like probably am psychotic about it to a fault because I've caught myself where I've been on a date and then I've asked too many questions and like it's become very apparent I've asked too many questions and I can't stop. So like that's definitely what we free fall into is like I was on a date with someone maybe about a year ago and they started crying and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I was just so enveloped in the story and like didn't realize that they were upset by it. So that can happen. Like I think I can't. I'm not good at sort of being like, and that's all we'll say on that.
Was this a date with your former therapist?
Yeah, was that a therapist?
Yeah, no, he's out, he's gone. My therapist. I don't see him anymore. I'm gonna find a new one. I reckon.
Oh my god, we're keeping Kat till all hours. Yeah, it's 10 p.m. in England.
Yeah,
oh god, that's right.
He's got to answer
a
question.
Hold on, it's not 10.
No, it's not 10 p.m. I know.
Why don't we take a quick break and we get back? We'll answer your questions.
Sure.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back with Kat Sadler, here to help you handle your scandal. Kat has told us everything we need to know and everything you need to know. So now when Kat helps handle your darkness, you will understand where she's coming from. You'll understand.
Kat, I don't know how much time you have, so I don't want to... do you want to go in a... easy direction or a more difficult direction with these questions? Because I've got a more like facile kind of like easy question, or we got something that's a little more juicy.
Now when Andy
juicy said, it's got to be juicy,
but I need everyone to know that when Andy said easy question, he shook his shoulders like he was dancing, and when he said difficult, he made Italian chef hands as though it was tasting a delicious sauce.
It's the chef hands for me. Yes. Let's get into it. What we got? What's juicy?
All right, here we go. Oh, Naomi, what is the voicemail number?
323-524-7839. Now remember, people, I'll always say you get a 3-minute limit on these voicemails. You got to keep it right and tight. You got to start with your pronouns and a log line. You got to give the question up top and then the supporting evidence. Because sometimes you'll be getting cut off before you done got to the good stuff.
Hey, guys. I love your show. I constantly love your advice. And that is why I am coming to you, hopefully for some scorched earth advice. I'm Nikki, she, her, and I need to know how to break up my kid and their current boyfriend. So a little bit of backstory. Boyfriend is a bad, bad person. He has tried to get my kid addicted to certain drugs and won't let him come home, even though my kid's only 16 and the boyfriend's 19. So overall, just a really bad guy. He's proven abusive, very controlling. We hate the guy. We all hate the guy. So my kid seems to be getting the idea that maybe this guy is bad, but cannot seem to, like, really break out of this, I guess, love cyclone, whatever the fuck. So I need to figure out several different ways to get them apart. Ways to get my kid to see that this boyfriend is terrible and my kid can do a ton better. Ways to maybe get the boyfriend put in jail. I don't know, make him disappear, migrate to Australia where he can fight a giant spider that will eventually eat his body. You know, any good ideas you might have. I'll be listening. Thanks, guys.
Oof, Nikki.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is a tough one. Oh, my God. Kat, what are your thoughts? First thoughts.
Wait, can I ask this? Have you ever dated a shithead like that? Like the person her kid is dating?
Yeah, where everyone's like, this person's bad. And we don't
like Christmas. I've definitely dated people that everyone has said they're bad news for you. I wouldn't say they're on the wrong side of the law. Okay. My sister definitely has, so I've got experience via my sister on this.
I asked that because I was like, if you could give advice to your, like, how would you get yourself out of that?
Yeah, how do you tell somebody who you love to get out?
Like, did you do that to your sister?
Honestly, like, I think when you're in that headspace, it's literally impossible. It's, like, impossible to reason with them. Like, I don't know. It's you need them to sort of see it for themselves or to also, like, get to the point where they feel like their self-esteem is high enough that they don't need to be around someone like that. But it's impossible. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This, to me, there's so much going on. Because here's a couple things I need to know. Right, 16 and 19.
Mm.
Is the son at 16, is he driving? Does he have a car? Mm. If he does not, this could actually be working in our favor. Because this means you could have a little bit of a closer eye on, like, coming and going, right? Like, if he just has a car and he can kind of drive off whenever, we got a problem. Mm. Because
try to get him addicted to drugs?
Probably giving him hard drugs to do. But I think the thing is, like, it's just so hard, right? Because as a parent, and again, we're three childless people, and we certainly don't have teenagers, but we have all been teenagers, and we've all
witnessed something like this,
yeah,
with people in our lives.
But it seems like what the work would be like, for instance, because the one thing that Nikki said that I'm holding on to is, like, I think my son's starting to realize he's not great, right? Like, he's starting to... And so I think what it would take, what I imagine is, and again, I don't know, again, Nikki, how close are you and your son? That's another question. Like, are you and your son sit together and talk? Or is he like, I'm going to my room, leave me alone? Because I think that if you guys have communication, I think it's about in these moments where he seems unhappy, frustrated, pissed off about the boyfriend. I think it's almost like, instead of going, see, this is why you shouldn't be around this guy, I think the conversation is actually more, you don't seem good, sweetheart. You seem like you're hurting. You got it. Why is that? Because basically the conversation you want is for your son to tell you and to put the pieces together that I am hurting because of the behavior of this other person.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because as you said, Kat, you're like, you can't do anything to get the person there. They have to get there themselves. But I think that's how you start to get them there, by teasing out. Like, let's talk about what is making this way, and have the son say, because of the way Todd is behaving. It feels like a 19-year-old Todd.
Completely.
So I was like, I think, am I crazy? I don't know, because I'm trying to think of, like, what would I have wanted to hear from my parent? But the thing is, I never, like, I didn't date as a teenager. So I wasn't like,
no.
I mean, you were watching comedy movies with your guy.
Exactly, with my mom, yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would ever have told her that if I was going on a date or anything. I don't think I even told her I had. Yeah, I wouldn't have done. So, yeah, very complicated. Like, I mean, to me, it sounds like they do have a good communication if she knows that stuff.
That's true.
Because that's the kind of stuff you'd keep a secret, wouldn't you? So they must be talking a little bit to have that.
Yes.
It's the kind of thing where, like, I have friends now with their own relationships, and you want to, like, pull them to the side and be like, can you give me 5 reasons that they're making your life better? Because, like, that's, like, the question I always want to ask people who have relationships, like, that they're struggling in. It's a bit like, what are they doing that's making you feel good?
Right, exactly. No, I think that's a good question, actually. Because if you really ask somebody, well, what is it that makes you feel good in the relationship? And that's different from what you like. There are two different things, right? Because you can, like that someone's really confident, but the flip side of that confidence is that they can be an asshole. So it's not what you like, it is what makes you feel good.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to think about all the dynamics of this.
Yeah.
Because if I was a parent, I'd just be like, no, you're not doing this. And I'm going to monitor. Look, spy on your kid. Okay. So turn on the, like, find my phone feature so you can follow their phone wherever. Put an ankle monitor on them if you have to. Do not get the boyfriend arrested, because that's going to boomerang back.
Yeah.
Somehow it's going to entangle your kid.
Right, because then your kid is going to feel guilty, and that guilt is going to drive him back.
No, I'm just saying I've watched too many TV shows where the parent tries to sabotage something,
parents.
And instead, now their kids are arrested.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, the last look, I've most has anyone ever seen the TV show Dream On? It was on HBO. Yes. Mm-hmm. In
I don't know what you're talking
80s.
About.
And as a kid, I didn't actually watch it, but I was a child, and there was slight nudity. So it would be like if my parents were not paying attention, I'd be like, ooh, Dream On. Okay. So, but the main character, played by actor Brian Benben, real name as far
yes,
as I understand.
Yes.
He would envision his life in old movies from the 30s and 40s that he saw when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
This is my life, except with sitcoms and dramas that I my entire life is seen through this lens. So that is what mm-hmm. I'm saying. I don't know what happened in real life. You could probably get the boyfriend arrested and just make sure your kid was nowhere near the, you know, just calling. By the way, also, cops are useless here. I don't actually
What are they going to do? I was like,
what are they going to do? Play Candy Crush? Like, you call them and they're like, sorry, I'm too busy playing a mobile game.
The cops will just, like, at best, they'll just, like, harass or annoy the kid. So, it's like, that's not what it is. But I think it really is about sitting with your son. Again, if you can kind of maybe fill his life and days with a lot of extracurricular activities so he's pretty much busy from sunup to sundown, that's a good start.
Yeah. Yes. Enroll. Okay. Mathletes, science Olympiad,
two school plays,
like, lacrosse.
He needs a part-time job. Like, it's a
quiz bowl.
Like, make his life very, very busy and very, very full if you can. But I think it is just having these conversations where you sort of where it's like, and I think it's in the, like the same because I think it's similar to what we would say when someone's like my friends with someone who's shitty. What you said, Kat, was like, what are the things you like? What are the things that are good? Or have you noticed that you've been very sad a lot lately when you talk about this person?
That's good.
And it can be hard, again, because I think at 16, we don't necessarily have all that kind of emotional, we don't have that breadth of knowledge to know, for instance, that one, you're not supposed to feel this bad. And two, that you can actually do better, right? Because I'm assuming at 16, this is probably his first boyfriend. So it's not like you think, oh, there's another love around the corner. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think that when I was 26. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always like, if Andy dies there, I'm going right behind him. Like, I'm not someone who thinks, like, so a 16-year-old doesn't have that foresight. And I think that you can't talk to a 16-year-old and be like, honey, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. It's like, you can't say that to someone who doesn't have the experience to know whether that's true or not. And I think that experience also can change when you are queer, right? Because it already feels like your options are fewer.
Yeah, I want to know where this is.
I know,
is this a major city or is this not? Because maybe there isn't like a wide dating pool for her kid.
For the kid. Well, that's
so true.
Because I'm also wondering, I'm like, he's 16, he's in school, and then what's this 19-year-old doing? Like, why are you hanging out? Like, again, 3 years isn't that big of a difference.
It is at that age.
But it is at that age.
It's 100%.
Like, I don't like it. I don't like a 19-year-old hanging out with a junior in high school. He should have other things to do, and the fact that he doesn't and wants to just, like, do drugs with a teenager in a bedroom, I'm like, we don't like him. We don't like Todd.
We do not like Todd, no. But you can't do... I feel like we can't intervene. As tempting as it is, you simply can't. I think all you can do is position yourself as someone that they can talk to about it.
Yeah.
Is all you can do, right? Because it's like, the change has to come from within them.
Right.
So,
yes. Oh, I got an idea. All right.
Mm-hmm,
so buy Todd a ticket. Next time one of those billionaires goes up in space, you know how they have like room for civilians?
Yeah.
Buy a ticket.
Yep.
Send him on space, sabotage the rocket.
Okay, is there a
now? You got two. You're dealing now. You've not only got rid of Todd, but also one of the billionaires
that's
fucking up the Earth.
Yeah. I mean, let's do another Titanic submersible.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
Oh, bot, yes.
Get him in a
submersible. What is that submersible called?
I don't remember. Ocean Gate, which was like already a terrible name. I was like, you knew this was going to be a problem. You called it Ocean Gate. We should put him in a submersible.
This is the SS implosion. They're like, should we be calling it that?
Like, get rid of him. But I think it's also too, Nikki, when you're talking to your son about the man we've named Todd.
And remember, this is great advice from three childless people.
Absolutely, yeah.
you got to take the judgment out of your voice, particularly towards your son. Like, we don't like Todd. You know you don't like Todd. Your son know you don't like Todd. You don't got to say it again. Your words and your focus needs to be on son, you don't seem good when you're with him. Yes. You don't seem happy when you're, like, it's that, because, as opposed to just calling Todd a piece of shit all the time.
As a teenager, you're already in this kind of oppositional mode.
Yes.
And so when your parent doesn't approve of someone, that just kind of makes you more adamant.
Exactly.
That, like, I'm going to date this.
Because you're like, Mom, you don't know what's cool now. Yes. Okay? Not having a job and smoking weed all day is cool.
Yeah.
It's like, no, actually. But
this this PCP laced horse tranquilizer is actually cool.
Yeah. So it's like, it can't, like, don't talk about it. It's like, you know what? Like, Todd is on his own journey. Todd needs something because he's obviously not living his best life at the moment.
Oh, you could bribe Todd to fuck off and go to, like, a different city.
That too.
Yeah.
You want to write him a check for $3,000?
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that in TV shows.
Andy, you... Okay, this man is not as TV. You would imagine I'm talking to someone who only speaks in movie quotes, mm-hmm. the way he's presenting himself, Kat. But
yeah,
Kat, do you have time for another question?
Of course I do. Of course I do.
Or Gina.
Okay, I'm going to give you a choice again. Do you want to go easy or do you want to go a little more difficult?
Or like, well, there's no gestures there for me. So how am I supposed to know? Like, are you feeling? Is it the Italian delicious hand? What emoji?
Do you
want to
go a little more difficult, or do you want to go a little more easy?
Well, again, it's the difficult.
Yeah,
that what you just did
juice.
There.
Kat wants the difficult. Kat said, bring it.
All right. This one comes to
Kat,
us.
I'm going to be texting you after this. I don't even have your number, but I'm going to find it. You're going to start getting text
Honestly,
messages at all hours.
Text me, please.
I have another friend in
shit.
London. We communicate all day long. So you're on the
Great.
List.
Who's your friend in London?
Excellent.
Mimi.
Oh.
Our Booker. And this way goes, who's your friend? I'm like, our Booker.
I forgot she's also our friend.
She also, like, stays up till 2 in the morning, so that might also be the problem.
Well, that's perfect. I love having friends overseas because, like, they're the nighttime gals, you know? Exactly. That's the night shift comes in, so it's great. Exactly. It's good. Always recruiting.
All right. This comes to us anonymous from Instagram, direct message. You can also direct mm-hmm. messages there. You can also direct messages on Twitter, though we don't really check that. Hey, are y'all still collecting questions on the Instagram? Is there a good way to fire a friend so it doesn't blow up a friend group?
Fire a friend. Ooh, I don't like that phrasing.
Context: I met Kay at a previous job. We didn't work together, but she was friendly and we exchanged numbers and animal pictures.
That's a good start.
That's a great
start. Sure.
That's you and me, Kat.
When Absolutely. I was fired from that job, she reached out and we started hanging out socially. Parentheses, her husband is now the DM of a D&D game with her, my husband, and two of my friends from college. She occasionally attends an art night gathering at my house. Pretty regular social interaction. End parentheses. We get along, period.
Yeah, we get along.
Sorry, I was like,
there was no period. But we get along, period, I think.
I'm saying that. I'm adding the period.
Yes.
Very short sense, but to the point. A month after I started a new job, she was fired, and I mentioned a position at my new job was looking to hire for. I put her resume in my boss's hands, as this was a position I would be supervising. My boss discussed it with me, and they were willing to overlook Kay's lack of experience because I vouched for her.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. As long as I understood, it would be my responsibility to fire her if things did not pan out.
Oof.
Well, 5 months in of working together, Kay is not up to speed for what the company needs. We have had two professional feedback meetings discussing with Kay where we need her to step up to be successful long term. She seems to take the meetings well, parentheses. I've been present, but there's also a senior level person present as well, end parentheses. But a few days later, she will reach out to me directly to complain that what we ask is outside her capabilities. We're hiring for an adjacent position, and it has been discussed with me that the firm is interested in using this applicant search to replace Kay as well. Professionally, I know I've made every effort to provide adequate feedback and accommodations where possible, and she doesn't seem to want to learn the job or make personal effort to improve her quality of work. Is there ever a good way to fire a friend when they're a professional liability? Do I need to just brace for an inevitable friend group fallout?
Okay, so it wasn't the reason why I said I didn't like the talk, because I thought it was fire the friend, like meaning get her out of the friendship. But we're talking about literally fire from a
literally
job.
Literally firing from a job. No, we get many of, like, how do I break up with a friend questions.
Right, but this is different. Because this is not different. Saying that you don't want to be friends, but it's saying you can't do the job. Now, Kat, did you hire any friends to work on Such Brave Girls?
Oh.
Good question. I had like a friend come in and I would, like, run storylines by him, but that's kind of it. So that wasn't, he wasn't an employee. So we're okay. we're okay on that. I haven't had to be in that horrendous position. Okay. This is juicy, guys. I don't know. But the one thing that I was thinking maybe might be a saving grace is the fact that these supervision meetings have had someone more senior there. So surely there's a way of embroiling them into this. Can it not be their job? Can they not step in? Can we blame them? Yes, can she blame that person? Yes, can we
take the coward's way out? Okay.
Obviously, we're gonna take the coward's way out. Who takes the hero's way out? It's not a saying.
Yeah, you go. They're making me do this. I'm so sorry. I don't want to do this. They are forcing my hand.
Yeah.
I fought for you. I fought so hard for you. You got to practice this, because if you have to be like, you have to have this. It can't. You can't Katy Britt it. You can't Senator Britt. This, yes.
You can't look like a psycho.
You can't
crack.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to like have it down, and you have to like the emotions have to be real.
Yeah.
But you can take the coward's way out and say my hand's being forced.
Well, I agree. I fully agree. I'm also wondering, though, like, it's been 5 months. There have been two meetings. And then here's the thing. The friend has said privately, this is outside my capabilities. So technically you have the receipts, right? Like, hey, like, it's almost like, hey, girl, like, I would almost. Okay. Is this weird? Is there a way to be like, girl, you should start looking for another job because they mad at you. Like, it's like, you got to give her a heads up. So
seed
she
it in. Yes. Yes. Seed
I love
it
that.
In.
So, because maybe she can that. Quit before they fire it. Like it's more like, hey, girl, Kay, you need to find a new job. Put out some feelers, sis. Because
that's a good idea, yeah.
Because I think that's what is the annoying part or the frustrating part, because you're like, you fired me, and then, like, I'm out of my ass with, like, no work, whereas it's like, help her like get the ball rolling on some other applications, other places.
Yes,
I think I would be doing that, and I'd also be saying things like, "You're not very happy in this job, are you?" And really, really stoke the flames of how miserable they are, and actually see if I could make them more miserable, because you could probably get them to quit if you tried hard enough.
Oh,
like get them to realize
force their.
Oh, I've got loads. If you ever need a coward's way out, you come to me. Honestly. But yeah, get them to realize that they're not happy, you know, and then maybe find other things for them to do, like find a different job for them, like you're saying, plant some seeds. But I think it's the same as a breakup, right? I think I'd be like, you'd start off a breakup by saying, like, I can see that you're not happy in this, you know, put it on them. It's not about how I feel, it's about how you feel.
Yeah.
The coward's way out.
Yeah. Can you do an occupational Munchausen by proxy, which I mean, you slowly poison the atmosphere at work.
right.
And that they're like, why do I? And then at some point they're like, I hate this. I'm coming in. I feel awful all the time.
But then that's going to ruin the friendship long term. Because what she's
you don't directly do it, right? Because in Munchausen by proxy, they don't realize that the caretaker is poisoning them.
Right.
Okay. It has to be. So again, this is another. These are all cowards' ways out. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
The real thing is, you should be direct with them. Be like, hey, you said yourself you are not doing well at this job. They really don't like you. Yeah. I think they're gonna fire you, or they're gonna make me do it. Yeah. You should start looking.
Yeah. Tell her to start.
I'll help
looking.
You. I'll help you because I feel bad about this. That's the real way.
Good again, cop. All yeah, these good cowards, cop. I and really, they're back up. Yeah.
I really do endorse the coward's way out, too, because I really don't like being confrontational.
Well, I think it's also, like, fun. But here's the other thing, too. Person who wrote in, don't be vouching for people if you don't know what they can do. That's another thing you got to learn. Because the boss said, it was like, they said they were willing to overlook Kay's lack of experience because I vouched for her. As long as I understood, it would be my responsibility to fire her if things did not pan out. This is already a weird office.
Stop giving out vouchers.
Stop giving out vouchers. But also, what is this office where your boss goes, we don't like her, but we'll hire her, but it's on you? What is this company?
Is this Raytheon?
It's I'm like, get out of here. So first of all, so obviously this is like, if Kay didn't have experience, I don't know if I would have gone hard for her. Don't do that again. And unless the person knows what they're doing, you can't be on the hook for someone else's shortcomings. Like, I think in any situation, like, bestie or no. Because think about it. If she wasn't your friend and she was just somebody who got hired who couldn't do what she wanted, you'd be like, get her out of here. She a problem.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
What about if you, I think I, maybe if it was me, I might say that their position was no longer needed in the company. Oh, so it wasn't up to me. I suppose so, yeah. Like, saying their contract ended, you know, they fulfilled what they needed to do. She's obviously not paying attention to what job she's doing. So, like, just be like, you finished it now, it's done. And then the next person you bring in, call that a different title, you know? That job never existed.
Well, they're saying this adjacent person might just end up being her replacement. So, because that's the other thing, too. She's going to be at a job where people are interviewing, and she doesn't even realize they're interviewing for her own job. I think the friend way to do this is, again, giving her the heads up so she's not fully caught out broke. But then also, too, when you fire her, that whatever senior person has been in there for the meetings should also be there when you fire her. Like, this should not be like a friend to friend, we're going to go out and get coffee and I'm going to tell you this. It should be like above board, as like professional as possible.
Yes, document everything. When we
to draw that line so that it just, so that it feels business and it like so that it doesn't feel personal at all.
Yeah. When we took the WGA showrunners thing, they had a whole section on how to fire someone and it's real involved. And it's like, you have a meeting first.
Yeah, you have to do basically three strikes and you have to document each time you go to a person.
And then you can
fire them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I think my plan, sort of my final plan, if I still didn't feel confident enough to do that, would be I think I would quit and find a new job.
Oh, that's the true coward's way out.
That's the true coward's way out.
I thought I had
out.
The ultimate coward's way out. I was going to say, you should start doing their work for them and make them look better. But the ultimate coward's way out is just quit. I love that.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is not my problem anymore. Brilliant.
Oh my god, that is so hysterical, to truly impoverish yourself to avoid confrontation.
Well, then you could say to them, like, oh, I'm thinking about leaving this company, like, they're not doing enough for me, like, I'm gonna change, I'm gonna grow, like, see it as though it's your choice.
Oh,
so she doesn't know it's anything to do with you.
Oh, make the okay, bring documents, fake documents. And make it look like the company is doing some like evil shit and say, we gotta leave. We're quitting.
Like severance. Severance. Yes. Stick a goat in one of the cupboards and be like, why is this goat here?
Yes. I was going for like, they've stolen, you know, they have Nazi gold. They were founded with Nazi gold. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, whatever, right? Or a goat.
Thank you.
and then say, we're out of here together. They quit. And then you go, oh, I can't actually quit. That doesn't save the friendship, but you're like, you're a morally, but then you talk up how much of a morally better person they are.
Right.
I love that. Yeah. You both agree to walk and then wait for her to do it. And then you just don't hand yours in.
And then you're like, oh, wait, I forgot something. And then you just go back and actually just go back to work.
And then you lock that door.
Yeah. they see you like go into the office building and you lock the front. The guard is like looking at you like, wait, what are you doing? I just love that visual of the friend staring at you on the sidewalk, like, outside the building.
Like literally holding a box of their items. Yeah.
Sliding the stationery through the post box. Like, bye, bro.
Oh my goodness.
Big signs, hope we can still be friends.
There's good stuff in there. Cat.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For sharing with us. You're a dream, a delight. You are.
You guys are a delight. This is very fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
This is great. And hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.